Okay, the woman at the well. We're going to take at least one more swing at this. But let's look in John chapter 4, go down to verse 23. I won't read a lot. I'm going to try to hurry this morning. Been a little long the last couple of times. I'm going to try my best. You all pray for me. John chapter 4, verse 23. Are you there? Amen. All right, let's try to make it not sound like a library, like somebody said a while ago. All right, Jesus dealing with the woman at the well. She's talking about worship, you know. Now, Jesus is going to instruct her in worship. Now, last week we talked about true worship. This week we're going to look at what it means to worship in spirit and in truth, because that's where Jesus puts the focus at here. Verse 23, "But the hour cometh," he said, "and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit," capital S. "They that worship him must worship him in spirit," small s, "and in truth." Amen. All right, so what Jesus has in mind here in dealing with this woman is to make her a true worshiper of God. Yes. He's not just trying to secure her a place in heaven. He's not trying to just make sure she don't go to hell. He's not trying to just give her some kind of hope in life or give her a better life, a more successful life, a more prosperous life. The end goal, what he's aiming for, what he's looking and shooting at here is to make her a worshiper of God. Now, do you worship God? I worship God. You read that in the Bible. No, I worship God. Abraham worshiped God. Jacob worshiped God. You read that often. He bowed down. Abraham's servant bowed down and worshiped God. Do you worship God? Are you just sure you're going to go to heaven when you die? Are you a churchgoer or are you a worshiper of God? Are you a Bible believer or are you a worshiper of God? Because Jesus didn't try to make her a Bible believer or any of that. That wasn't the thing. Now, if you're a worshiper of God, you're going to believe the Bible first. But that's what the goal is. You know, that's what grieves a preacher. That's what everybody's burden is about, that cares and understands, is they want people to worship God, not just attend the services, not just be involved, not just have a part, not just give, not just be religious or count themselves among our number. It's, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." That's the first commandment. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, with all thy soul, with all thy heart." I mixed it up there. "With all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength." Man, that's the first and the greatest commandment. And that's what Jesus is aiming for in dealing with this woman. That's the goal. So she'll worship God. And they've got to this point where this is entered into the conversation. All right, now, he said you got true worshipers are going to worship God in spirit and in truth. All worship directed toward heaven is not acceptable to God. Now, a lot of people worship. All the world worships something. They do. That's what they put it first. They love it. It has their heart. Everybody has something that they worship. But it's obvious that there's endless forms of worship. You see all around the world, the heathen worship. Pagans worship. There's all kinds of, there's more forms and varieties and of Christianity than any other religion in the world. I mean, my goodness, there's no end to the forms of that religion and the way they worship. I mean, you've got them from the Pentecostal, crazy Pentecostals, to the dead and dried out, you know, Catholics and their form of ritual and all of that. So worship, that's just a word. But Jesus said true worshipers. True worshipers. God the Father seeketh such to worship Him. True worship is in spirit and in truth. That's it. Very narrow. Very exclusive. You can't just, there's not a great number of ways you can worship God. There's no great room to mess around and be diverse. There's no such a thing. True worshipers, black, white, yellow, or red, no matter what language, what country, where they come from, their culture, all true worshipers of God worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so it ought to be simple for us to see what Jesus is talking about here. Unregenerate people and people who are just simply ignorant of what true worship is, they suppose that all worship is honorable and pleasing to God. But that's not true at all. Worship that's not true worship is abomination to God. It's not just something He just ignored and says, oh, well, poor people, I just don't understand. I don't know what they're doing. No, it's abominable. It's a stench in God's nostrils. It's an offense to God that people are offering worship and they're really worshiping something else, somebody else, some other spirit besides Him. He's a jealous God. So don't think that, well, you know, they got a good heart. They mean well. No, sir. No. They're offending God in heaven. It's part of the reason they're going to go to hell forever. Right. Worshiping. False worship. He said in Luke chapter 16 and verse 15, Jesus said this. He said, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. And worship is highly esteemed among men. All kinds of worship except the right kind. It's not highly esteemed in the sight of men. They like the all of the pomp and the fancy and the gold and the silver and the idols and the fancy buildings and all of that. Oh, that's highly esteemed. Everybody highly esteems that. The Catholics, the Mormons, all false religions highly esteem all of the grandeur and pomp and show of false worship. All false worship's that way. Worship in spirit and truth ain't nothing like that whatsoever. That's what this woman's talking about. Well, our fathers say that we worshiped in these mountains, but you say we ought, Jerusalem's the place to worship. It's about a place to her. She don't understand yet. Worship has to do with where you are. Worship has to do with the things that are surrounding you. That's her idea of worship. And that's almost everybody's idea of worship. People can't worship unless they're in a great big crowd. People can't worship unless they're in a big fancy building. People can't worship unless it's highly esteemed in the sight of men. It's got to be something that's successful. It's got to be something that's showy and grand, or they ain't in it. That's false worship. It's abomination to God. It's not acceptable to God. It's not aimed at God. It's not pleasing to God. Unacceptable worship includes this, these things. It adoration directed toward a place, like we were just talking about. I always, you know, from learning another language, you learn things just kind of ring a bell to you. In Spanish, the word for worship is adoration. Adoration. Somebody say, I adore you, or you adore your children. You adore one another as a husband and wife or something like that, you know. Well, you know what that means, don't you? That helps you to understand what true worship is really about, too. But people adore a place. They worship a place. The Catholics do that. I've seen them do it. I've seen the places I've been in these dirty little cities and villages in Mexico where they were so poor. They had nothing. But, buddy, they had a fancy Catholic church with a lot of gold and silver and stuff for everybody to look at and wonder at and stand in amazement and awe at all this grand, it's big and it's fancy and it's rich and it's valuable and it's worth so much. Somebody out there? I did too. Yeah, I heard a door slam out there. Anyway, it can't be directed toward a place. True worship can't. Let me hurry. Feelings and emotions for anyone or anything but God Himself. That's unacceptable worship. Now, I've been in a lot of worship services in Baptist churches. You listening to me? Where the preacher got worshiped. Somebody else got worshiped. I know churches where I've been over and over, and every time I've been there, it's about worshiping somebody, somebody. Some man, some visiting preacher, some of the preacher that's there, the church itself, and all this great church and the work that's done here, and all the people, and how much we appreciate everybody. Well, that's a good thing to appreciate everybody, but that's not worship. You just need to understand that. It's okay to give thanks and to be kind to one another and fellowship. That's what that is. That's fellowship. That's not worship. Don't call it worship. Call worship what it is. We're to be worshipers of God. And by the way, that don't mean that every time we come to church here that we worship. We come to church to get preached to. We come to church to edify one another. We come to church to learn the Word of God so that we can worship God. It's not very often you have a real worship service. And everybody wants to have that all the time. They come to church and they think if we don't shout and holler and get emotional, we didn't even have church. God wasn't there. No, God's there. God's here when you're hearing the Word of God and learning and understanding. He's dealing and teaching you. And that's, you're not going to worship God unless you know. We know what we worship, Jesus said. You're just fumbling around in the dark. You're just trying this thing and that thing, and you're experimenting with this and that, and you're not anchored. You don't understand. You worship, you know not what. But we know what we worship. You can't worship without knowing what you're worshiping. Truth. Well, I don't want to get ahead of myself there, but indulgence of fleshly desires and pleasures. That's not real worship. Just because you feel good, you like the music, you like the atmosphere. I mean, it just makes you feel good. Come in, sit down, that happy music playing, yes, sir, and it's just like being in a hoedown or something. That's not worship. You can think all you want to, but that's not worship. If it is, then they're worshiping at the rock concerts, and they're worshiping at the country music concerts. They're worshiping everywhere because they got their hands in the air and they're shouting, and boy, they're having a good time and they're feeling good and happy. That ain't worship. Not true worship. It's worship, but not true worship. Any aspect of it that feeds the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life makes it false worship. Boy, I'm telling you. I've been in a lot of services where they thought it was worship. And I thought it was. In my ignorance, I thought it was too. But it wasn't. And I can see the damage that it's done through the years because it's false. And it's not acceptable to God. And you go to church or a meeting somewhere and everybody goes away feeling like God has visited, and it's so blasphemous and wrong when God wasn't there and didn't have anything to do with it, and it was not acceptable in His sight, and yet we go around feeling away feeling good and putting that down in our little book as one of our great experiences with God, and it wasn't at all. And it misleads people, and it deceives them. And they end up shipwrecked down the road. And their children do because it wasn't true worship. So anything that feeds the flesh, the lust of the flesh, music. That's why we just don't have worldly music in the church. That's why it's wrong. It feeds the flesh. It speaks to the flesh. It takes you back out there in the world where you're supposed to be delivered from. In your heart, in your mind, in your emotions, in your feeling, it stirs all those things up. That's what it's speaking to and feeding. And it can't be true worship to God. So anything like that. Lust of the eyes, that's your fancy atmosphere and all of the things. And the pride of life. Music has a lot to do with pride because it's identity involved in music too. And I don't know how to verbalize that, but I'm telling you, it does. Music, certain kind of music, lifts up your pride. It inflates your pride. And so that kind of music can't be a part of true worship, because the kind of music that aids and encourages and helps true worship humbles us, not makes us proud. Any kind of worship that unifies us around a cause or an identity, a name. We're going to make a name for ourselves. We're going to build a tower, reach to heaven. That's us. I mean, this is the Tower of Babel Company, the Tower of Babel Church, the Tower of Babel Fellowship. Ain't you a part of it? Ain't you proud to be a part of it? We're going to do something here. Anything like that is not true worship. Or a person, if it encourages unity around a person instead of God Himself, it can't be real. It's not true worship. You can't worship a preacher. You can't worship a building. You can't worship a church. It's not true worship if that's the way it is. All right? What does it mean to worship in spirit? Now, that's what we're going to talk about this for a few minutes here. What does it mean? Well, it's hard to put it in a precise definition where you can understand it without simply showing what it is not. What it's not. It's the way God fixed our minds to work and for us to understand everything is by contrast. So that's what we're going to do. Now, Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse 8, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell from whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." Now, he's talking about the Spirit to Nicodemus. And, you know, the Spirit's like wind. You can't tell where it's coming from, where it's going. But you sure can hear the sound thereof. And you sure do know its presence. And so to worship in the Spirit, it's hard for me to say, well, now this is how you do it. Number one, number two, number three. No, I can just tell you, I can make you understand a lot better by just telling you what it is absolutely not. When you're worshiping, or think you're worshiping, or when you're watching other people who think they're worshiping, I can tell you some things that will help you to understand what it when it's not. To worship in the Spirit is, well, here's number one. It's not to worship in the flesh. Because the Spirit and the flesh are contrary one to another. Now, they don't work together. So to worship in the flesh, you're not worshiping in the Spirit. So it's like what we just talked about there. Anything that feeds the flesh, anything that appeals to the lust of the flesh, is absolutely not worshiping in spirit. So it's not true worship. True worshipers worship. They must worship in spirit and in truth. So it's not worshiping in the spirit when you can't keep your body still. Now how about that one? Try that one on. Well, you just got to dance. That ain't true worship. It's flesh. It's speaking to your flesh, not your spirit. Amen. That went over like a lead balloon. It's not worshiping in the spirit when you can't keep your body still. Now, I've been in Baptist churches and I've been in other kinds of churches, and they think that that's the absolute sign and evidence that when you're really worshiping is you got to get up and run around the building. You got to swing off the light fixture. Don't look at it, Mike, like you know. You got to jump up and dance or run across the back of the pews or make some kind of gestures or you ain't worshiping. Not true. It's not true. True worshipers must worship in the Spirit. All right? It is not worshiping in the Spirit when you cannot get your mind off of yourself. If you can't get your mind off of yourself, you're not worshiping in the Spirit. It's not worshiping in the Spirit if you feel pressured to move, to jump, to shout, to run, or with other join in with others in any kind of physical display of emotion. Now, if you got to be pressured into it, it's not true worship. It's not spiritual worship. If it's peer pressure, if it's just joining in the crowd because you don't want to be different. It's not worshiping in the Spirit if it's exciting. There's you another one. Try that. Well, all churches that I've been around through the years, they got this idea that it's just got to be exciting or else it ain't no good. God ain't in it. Yeah. You know, it ought to just, I mean, everybody ought to be excited and enthusiastic. And so they pump that and try to feed that and try to encourage that and pour gasoline on that fire. But that is not true worship. Excitement. If you're excited, you're not really worshiping. Well, take it or leave it. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. The rest of you, I don't know what you'll do. You just keep on fumbling around in the dark like the woman that don't know what she's worshiping. To worship in the Spirit is to be completely open and honest before God. Now, we're getting to the real root of the matter here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Listen closely what this verse says. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Worshiping in the Spirit means that you are open and your real self in front of God. I could say this in ways that would be real expressive and really make you understand and shock you a little bit, but it'd probably be taken the wrong way. So I'll just leave them behind and try to make you understand by saying it again, that the worship in spirit is to come before God as an open book, uncovered, nothing hidden. You don't worship God unless you open all the doors and windows and quit hiding. Quit trying to deceive yourself. Quit trying to imagine yourself as something that you're not. Come before God just like you are. What man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Your spirit is what you really are and what you know you really are. You can't worship God without an honest heart. Luke chapter 8 and verse 15. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. You can't get nowhere with God until you get honest before God about your own self before God. Psalm 139 verse 23 and 24. This whole chapter, this whole psalm is about this. But in the last two verses, he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now there's somebody who's preparing to worship in spirit and in truth. That's how you do it. You get before God and you open up everything before him. And you realize, as he said in the first of this psalm, how you know, thou knowest my thoughts afar off. I mean, you know my down sitting and my uprising. You know everything about me. Here I am, Lord. This is me. You can't worship God until you do that. Now, the thing about that is that when you really get honest before God, you understand, and you understand that he loves you anyway. Then you begin to understand some things about God that you sure don't see in other people very much. Other people, and yourself included, you feel like love must be earned. It's something that comes with merit instead of just love. You don't know people who have a benevolent and charitable heart like God does. And so when you begin to understand that about God, that this is what I am, and he loves me anyway. Wow. That's you're getting through the gate, see? This is how you worship in spirit and truth. And I don't want to get ahead of myself again, but what's happened so far in this story about the woman at the well, isn't that what's happened? He's uncovered every dirty thing about her. I mean, he had to force her out. He's trying to lead her to worship, to true worship. And that must be done. You got to come honest before God. I don't have a husband. Yeah, you don't have a husband, all right. And he drug it all out right in the open in front of her. Uncovered everything. Well, that's step one. If you're going to worship God in truth, if you're going to be a true worshiper of God, you're going to have to worship in spirit. No secrets, nothing hidden. That's what intimacy means. It's not physical, really. You know, if you're going to get along in your marriage, you're going to have to, it's going to have to be that way. You're going to have to understand that intimacy means no secrets about anything. Nothing hidden. There can't be any adoration. There can't be any real love unless it's that way. To worship in the Spirit is to commune with God intimately and privately. Even though you may be surrounded by others, it's still a private and a personal thing. Yes, it is. We may be all together here. Public worship is when a group of people are all together and each one is worshiping God with their heart open before Him. Now, I know this is true. I know it because this is what the Bible teaches, but I know it also from experience. I've seen it and I've been there and I've experienced it. When God is really in the place, everybody's eyes ain't on one another. You ain't watching the circus going on with everybody running and a hooping and acting like a bunch of fools. I mean, there's a holy hush over the place. And you can hear weeping. And you can hear people talking to God. And it's everybody's in their own cubicle with God. I don't know how else to say that. Everybody ain't focused on anybody else. I mean, they're all focused on God. That's when you have a true worship service together. It's a private thing. It don't matter if you're with 1,000 people, 100 people, or 25 people, or by yourself. It's still true worshipers worship God in spirit and in truth, and that's a private thing. It's between me and God. If I'm going to worship God, now me and you may be in the same place, and we may worship God at the same time, but it's me worshiping God and you worshiping God. It's not us worshiping God. It's not a thing we cooperate together with. It's a private thing, an individual thing. Well, I hope you can understand that too and get a hold of it. There's not true worship when we are offering resistance to God and holding the door shut in our heart. Any door. There's no worship, no true worship. That's why it don't happen so much. Don't happen very much because people keep the door tightly closed. Ain't letting you in. It's locked. Now, they'll participate in all the outward things. I mean, you want me to lead in prayer? Okay. You want me to give? I'll give. You want me to jump up and run around a little bit? I'll do that too. You want me to say amen? Okay. But true worship and spirit, you and God, with no secrets, nothing between you and your Savior. That's a rare thing. I'm just telling you, it's the way it is. Those who worship but not in spirit, they're a great hindrance to those who would worship in spirit and in truth. It's hypocrisy. It's a show. It's phony. It's not real. It's a deception. And so many are deceived. I don't know how many people I know who are living their life in deceit. And it's wrecked their lives because they have watched people who said they were worshiping God do all these things that I've been talking about. And so they don't have any other concept in their mind. They think that's worshiping God. And a lot of them have decided, well, I ain't doing that. I ain't being that stupid. I ain't going to be a fool like that. So they won't do nothing. And then others have taken it and said, well, I can do that and this much more. And I'm going to put my music to it. And I'm going to put my culture to it. And yes, sir. And we're going to worship hard. All these rockers and contemporary people, boy, they talk about worship. They call it worship. And they've got worship leaders. How in the world can I lead you to worship if I don't do it the way Jesus did it here in John chapter 4? Because this is what He's done. You talk about the worship leader. Here He is right here. Classic example of how to lead somebody to worship God. And He ain't doing it the way everybody's doing it nowadays, is He? No, sir. So what does it mean to worship in truth? Well, again, we can understand it more clearly by contrasting it with what it is certainly not. To worship in truth means that we can't mix a lie in it. We can't mix a theory in it. We can't mix anything false in it. And we can't mix any fantasy or imagination in it. That's not true worship. If you try to visualize and imagine, no, John Lennon did that, popping LSD and smoking weed. That ain't the way you worship God, imagining. The just shall walk by faith. They shall live by faith. Yeah. We see it through the eye of faith, and we worship. We know what we worship. We don't have to make believe. We don't have to imagine. We don't have to pretend. We don't have to put on a false thing. We can worship in truth, knowing. So do you know this morning? I mean, do you worship God? That's what I'm asking you. Are you really a worshiper of God? Do you really worship God in spirit? And do you really worship God in truth? When you come to God, when you think of God, when you live your life, when you make your choices, when you decide what you believe and all of this, is it really based on the truth? Or is it based on what you want to be the truth? What you imagine to be the truth? What you feel like's the truth? Does it have to be modified? Does it have to be twisted to fit your lifestyle, your desires, your opinions? Or is it all yielded? In spirit, everything's yielded. Everything's uncovered. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. You want to prepare to worship? You want to start that way? In truth? In spirit and in truth? You got to. That's the way it is. That's the way. That's the road that leads there. There's no other way. No other way. You can't mix anything false in with it. True worship doesn't include fables, storytelling, drama, dreams, visions, or anything like that. That's not truth. You can't worship God in that. Now, is that what everybody's doing? Is that, if you look around you, to other churches, the whole world, is that what they're doing? Exactly. That's exactly what they're doing. And Jesus could look at them and say exactly the same thing he said to this woman. You worship, you know not what. You're imagining. You're dreaming. You're visualizing. You're trying to put it all together in some other realm. She's talking about other places. She's talking here in a minute about the future. And when Messiah's coming, he'll tell us. You know, it's always somewhere else. It's always another place. It's always some other time. It's some other person. And Jesus said, no, it's right now. And the time is right now. Yes. True worshipers are going to worship God in spirit and truth, and they're going to do it right now. Amen. Now is the time. To worship in truth means that it's got to be based on and flowing from what is absolutely true and factual. And we talked about that last week. You know, I told you that this is the way it works. This is the proper order. The truth is preached. The truth is heard. The truth is learned and accepted. You see the truth. And the truth, what does it do? The Bible says. What did Jesus say? It makes you free. And the truth, understanding the truth, embracing the truth, it produces emotion. Feelings, oh yes, sir. Your heart. Charity rejoiceth in the truth. And so feelings follow. There's no such thing as true worship without emotion and feelings. But emotion and feelings do not constitute true worship. They're a result of true worship, not what you got to do in order to worship. And that's what everybody does with the music, with the fables, the storytelling, the illustrations, the drama acts that they all put on. Now, they put a lot of that in, you know, that ain't in the Bible. The only place in the Bible when those false prophets were telling Jehoshaphat and Ahab about going up to Ramoth Gilead. Remember, they put the horns on and this is how you're going to do it. And they put on a show, a drama to get their message across, which was a lie, a false message. It works for the world. Don't work with God. And it don't work with worship, true worship. It's got to be true. You got to worship in spirit and in truth. No lie, no theory, no imagination, no fantasy, no dream. It's got to be the truth. Something you can point to the Word of God and say, there it is right there. God said it. It's true. Jesus has said enough in these few verses to this woman of truth that, I mean, it conquered her soul. It turned her into a true worshiper of God. And we have to go around it so much. We got to have all these extended studies and seminars and dissect everything out. And I'm preaching for 45 minutes here to extol them the truth about true worship. And Jesus just did it in a little bit here, just a few words. Just, don't you wish you could be more like Him? Well, I do. I wish I could say as few words as He said and be as sharp with the sword as He was. Skilled. Because He knows. He made us. He made her. He knows how we work. He knows how our minds think and our hearts work. And so He's very skilled with it. It's got to be based on the truth. To worship in truth means that we honor and extol what we do know about God. Not what we think, theorize, imagine, or what we've heard somebody else say, what we know. Now get that. If I'm a worshiper of God, I'm going to worship Him in the truth that I know about Him. So what do you know about God this morning? What do you know? I'm not talking about what you've heard other people say about God. I'm not talking about what you know that other people know. I'm talking about what do you know? Is He real to you? Has He really done stuff in your life? Has He really revealed Himself to you in your soul? Does His Spirit really bear witness with your spirit that you're a child of God? You can't worship God in spirit and in truth without being able to worship Him and what you know about Him. And so you got to know something. You got to know something about God. Now, you don't have to know everything. None of us know everything. You don't have to know libraries about God. You don't have to know so much. You don't have to know as much as somebody else knows. But you got to know what you're worshiping. We know what we worship. You got to know. It's a deliberate, it's a sensible, knowledgeable, practical, real thing true worship is. It's not just shooting in the dark. It's not just feeling in the dark. Yet we know what we worship. God. We worship God in the truth that we know about Him. I learn more about Him every week I live. I learned some this week. And in learning more about God, I learn more about myself. The more I learn about Him, the more I see that needs to be fixed about me if I'm going to be like Him. And the more that I learn about Him, the more reason there is to worship. And the more truth there is to worship Him in. You got to worship Him for what He is. Not what other people say He is. What other people imagine that He is. What you imagine that He is. What you want Him to be. What you'd like Him to be. He can't be a God of your own making. It's got to be true. You got to worship the real God of heaven who created all things. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of Moses, the God of David. You got to worship Him. When we worship in truth this way, God is able to reveal more about Himself to us because it's a two-way thing. Worship is not just it's not just an offering. Well, true worship is union. He'll reveal more to you if you can really worship Him in spirit and in truth. Worshiping in truth is about knowing God and realizing how well He knows us, me. Oh God, Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou knowest my thoughts afar off. Ain't got nothing hid. And I ain't even trying anymore. Because I know you know everything. You know everything I do. You see everything I do. You know everything I think. We can't worship God in truth if we have some false idea about Him. And most everybody has some false idea about God. About what He's like. What He does. I see these things where people talk about God is, you know, this thing about Proverbs chapter 1 where, you know, I'll mock when your fear cometh. I'll laugh at your calamity. And they say that's the way God is. It ain't talking about God. It's talking about wisdom. And it's a female pronoun used. How can you, in the world can you think that God is going to laugh at you? That ain't the God I know. That ain't the God that I read about in the Bible. That ain't the way His Son was when He lived on this earth. He didn't laugh at nobody's calamity. He didn't mock at nobody's disaster in their life and their fear. That's not God. How can you worship? You can't worship God in truth when you got that kind of idea about Him. When you think of Him in a way that He's not. Man, can't you understand that? Have you ever had anybody not understand you? Have you ever had anybody think evil of you when it wasn't true at all? People think you're such and such and you're this away and you're not. How's that feel? You can't worship God. You can't have a love feast with God when you think things like that about Him. Nope, you got to know what you got to worship Him in truth. And you got to really know Him and who He is. And people who cannot tell the difference between the gods of this world and the God of heaven who created all things, they can't worship God in truth. You can't tell the difference in the way Muslims worship and real Christians worship. If you can't tell the difference in worldly, carnal, idolatry, and real Christianity, you can't worship God in truth. What's the matter? You can't do that. If you can't identify the truth any more than that, there ain't no way you're going to worship God. God's seeking such to worship Him. You can worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's the only way. It's narrow. I mean, the way is narrow. You ain't going to worship God. You ain't going to be a worshiper of God unless it's in spirit and in truth. God ain't seeking people to worship Him any other way. He won't have it any other way. He won't accept it any other way. It's not acceptable in His sight. People who can't tell the difference between the Jesus of the Bible and the Jesus of this ungodly world, they can't worship God in truth. So they're not worshipers of God. Very simple. They think Jesus is like most of the Sunday school material shows Him to be, and Jesus like these politicians think He is, and most all of the preachers and churches of this world, if you really think Jesus is like they're showing Him to be, He's okay with sodomites. He's okay with fornication. He's okay with every wicked thing. He's okay with you just loving the world and living in the lust of your flesh. Now, if you can't tell the difference, then you can't be a true worshiper of God. Because to be a true worshiper, you got to worship in spirit and in truth. The woman couldn't worship in spirit and truth until she knew who Jesus really was. Now, get it. That was the final nail in the coffin of her old life. And He said, I am that speak unto thee. I'm He. I'm Him. She understood that the hour is coming and now is. He put that in there before, you know. The hour is coming and now is. When true worshipers shall worship Him in spirit and truth. She couldn't worship Him in spirit and truth until she knew who He really was. First, he had to get the doors of her heart open and reveal all her secrets. But even then, she was still thinking of worship as something that's directed in ignorance to some unknown and uncertain time in the future and all of that. The woman saith unto him in verse 25, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He's come, He'll tell us all things. Then she had to know who He was in truth.
So he told her plainly. Verse 26, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. So that's why that he inserted that little phrase in that previous verse, up there, verse 23, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship God the Father in the spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Now she can truthfully say, come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Now you see? Don't you see how that just... That's just exactly what I've been telling you. You're going to get her to worship in spirit and truth. There she is. Everything's open and revealed. Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Well, now all we read about was her five husbands, and the one she has now is not her husband. Well, that's good enough. If he knew that about her, he knew everything else. If that was uncovered, ain't no use I trying to hide anything else. Right? I mean, if that's my worst, that was her besetting sin, I suppose. I mean, if he uncovers that sin on you, what other sin is there that you're gonna keep trying to hide? Remember, we talked about that's the pillar of morality, all moral law. That's the pillar of it. You're immoral there, man, lie. Everything's going, the whole house fall down. That's why we're in the shape we're in, this country, this world, the churches. That's why we're in, it's sexual immorality. So everything else falls with it. So he uncovered that about her, and he just knocked the main pillar out from under her, uncovered it all. He's come see a man who told me everything I ever done. Come see a man that knows all about me. Is not this the Christ? Well, of course it is. Ain't nobody knows all about you but him and you. Spirit, worship him in spirit, small s, that's you. You got to come to him as you are, the real you. Not pretending, not faking, not putting up some kind of a front like you do to everybody else. Not holding a screen up in front of everybody saying, this is me, this is me. While you're hiding behind it in a different person. Can't worship God that way. She can truthfully say that. To worship God in spirit and in truth does not happen until we're open and honest before God and we absolutely know who he is. Truth. Truth. Pilate said, what is truth? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Worship God. True worshiper, going to worship in spirit and truth. Now, that's pretty simple. Hope you understand. Won't y'all stand? Now, you'll just have to ask yourself. I always try to steer away from trying to push people too hard in public acknowledgement and everything, because here's what I fear. I fear people do it out of peer pressure and make a liar of themselves and be worse off than they was to start with. You need to look in your own heart this morning. You need to look in the mirror and ask yourself, are you really a true worshiper of God? Or are you just religious? You just practice your religion. You try to learn and know all you can find out about this religion of yours. Are you a churchgoer? Are you a worshiper of God? Because God ain't interested in making you any of those other things if you're not a true worshiper. Because all of those other things are a great hindrance to being a true worshiper if they come before. See? You know, I was thinking about the place. God told Jacob to go back to Bethel. That place was important. That place meant something. There's places that mean something to me. There's places where God has spoke to me, where things have happened. Big things in my life, places. And I remember the place. And sometimes if I go back to that church or that place, I stand there and reminisce I think about it, I just ponder and reflect on it. But when that place becomes more revered than God, then it's out of order. It's not true worship. Jacob worshiped God at Bethel because of God. You know how El Bethel and Bethel? I mean, it's the God of Bethel. You need to catch that in studying that about Jacob. God said, he named it El Bethel, which meant I'm the God of Bethel. Not the place, the God of the place. That's what mattered. True worship, it's got to be true. It's got to be the truth. Can't worship God with some false idea in your mind. That's why it's so important for us to preach the truth. That's why it's so important that if there be, whatsoever things are true, think on these things. You don't need to study the cults. You don't need to study the false religions. You just need to study the truth. You need to get your heart and your mind full of truth. You need to learn to recognize the truth. And I don't believe that's hard. The Spirit of God's living in you because Jesus said He is the Spirit of truth. And He will guide you into all truth. If you're being led by the Spirit, you're going to find the truth. I believe when you're really born of God, there's a hunger in your heart and you won't settle for anything but the truth. That's what separates you from the herd. It's what cuts you out of the herd is you won't settle for these lies. You won't participate in this falsehood. You can't swallow this stuff that's all mixed up with fantasy and imagination. You got to have the real deal or you don't want it at all. Now that's been my experience too. And you're cut from the herd of the world, but eventually it's going to cut you from the herd of all these religious people in the world too. Believe me, they'll push you right out from under the fence and get you away from them. They like that fantasy and they like those lies and they like those theories and nobody's sure of anything. And that just leaves us room to just love everybody and just put up with everybody because ain't nothing. We don't know nothing. I mean, we don't know nothing. No, we know what we worship. You can't worship God unless you know the truth. Amen. All right, well, bow with me. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the truths that we've talked about this morning. I've done my best, but I know it's not, it just won't get the job done. I pray your Spirit would speak to hearts, that you would make these words and these things, these truths, real and understandable. And keepers, that we'd keep these things and put them into practice, apply them in our lives. I don't know how many here this morning are really true worshipers of God. But Lord, I pray that you'd instill in their heart this morning a desire to be one and to set about to throw overboard out of their boat everything that doesn't make them a true worshiper of God, or that hinders them in being a true worshiper of God. Please help us, Lord. It's hard times we live in. So much deceit, lies on every hand. Everything's demanding our attention and our eyes and our ears. And so much falsehood being pumped into the minds of all of us, but these young people, they're so vulnerable. Lord, please, I pray you'd protect them from all this evil. Please, Lord, make the truth that they do hear powerful and effective. And Lord, I pray you'd plant it in their hearts and minds so deep that they could never escape from it or never forget it. Lord, help us, I pray. Work in our hearts as we go from here and help us to remember and to ponder these things. Help us to be a church that really does worship you in spirit and in truth, each one of us. Lord, help us to be true worshipers in Jesus' name. Amen.